October the 23rd, I guess 2011, we started Church in Oklahoma City, so it's our fourth anniversary this week. God's doing great things. Ironically, October the 20th, 30 years ago, 1985, we started our church in Broken Arrow, and so some of you might have been seeing on Facebook and all the social media, we had a theme, The Future is Bright, and had our 30th anniversary. In fact, this morning we wore suits and ties because we had a throwback Sunday, because back in 1985, we all wore suits and ties. So we went back and wore a suit and tie. You know, and I found out why I don't like wearing a suit. Number one, it's cumbersome. But number two, I changed my tie three times this morning before I walked out of the house. Couldn't figure out which tie I wanted to wear. So it was like, you know, I don't like that one. No, I don't like that one. So finally I went with the third choice, you know. And so that's kind of a pain. Plus it's a little tight. And we don't wear suits as much. So I don't really have a lot of, actually I do, I wore a brand new suit today that I bought when I was over in Hong Kong. I had a suit made for me, custom made. I gained weight since I was in Hong Kong last summer. So anyway, praise God. Amen. But, you know, God's a good God. Oh, I do want to make another announcement. It's pretty exciting. Some of you may or may not know, but our Rhema Praise television show has now gone on the air on the local CBS station here. We have great times. Let's see. We're on at 2 a.m. on Friday morning. So you that are late-nighters, we're also on at 4:30 a.m. on Sunday morning. Now, I know many people are not watching those kind of times, but it's on Channel 9, which I guess is KWTV. But also, for some of you that may or may not know, we're on the Daystar Network at 8 p.m. on Saturday night, and I think it's local channel 46, I believe, and on the cable is some kind of 100-something on the cable, but it's just kind of interesting because we just went on the air, and our very first show we had on Channel 9, we had 28,000 people watch us, our very first. So, you know, surprising 28,000 people in Oklahoma City are up watching TV that time of night and watching us. I mean, so it was, but they gave us after the first week, they gave us some statistics. So that's pretty awesome that many people were able to enjoy our broadcast. You know, and I was just shocked that many people were up at night. Some of you may or may not know, Channel 6 in Tulsa and Channel 9 here in Oklahoma City, they're like sister stations, and we do a lot with Channel 6 in Tulsa, and they invited us. We're also on Channel 6 in Tulsa on some early morning air times in the weekend, and we only had 5,000 people watch us in Tulsa, but 28,000 in Oklahoma City, so that's pretty awesome. So either that or a lot of people are up late at night or early in the morning in Oklahoma City. So just thought I would make that announcement. But anyway, we've been going for 4 years here. You know, and the most important thing, you know, obviously we like to see some outward church growth, but the most important thing really is inward church growth. And the most important thing is that, you know, we endeavor to put things into you that will help you live your life. You know, help you live your life on a daily basis. I mean, sometimes that we come to a church service and all we hear is you know, some scriptures, and sometimes it's that they are, you know, we hear a study of the Greek words, and for some of us it goes right over our head because we don't know Greek, Hebrew, or any other language. I mean, we do good enough to talk a little bit of Spanish or whatever. You know, I am fluent in food Spanish. I figured that out. You know, really not fluent in much other Spanish, but food Spanish just happens to be one of my expertise. You know, enchilada, tamale, you know, all those kind of quesadillas. I mean, you know, I'm awesome at food Spanish, and so normal Spanish, not so much, because, you know, I don't know. Everybody does things for different reasons. When I was in the school, they said I needed to take 2 years of foreign language, and so, you know, being that we're not too far from Mexico here, I decided to take French. Actually, because real honestly, my mom's like, you can't roll your R's, so you probably should take French or some other, or German. I'm like, German seems too hard, so I took Spanish. I really want to take Pig Latin, but they didn't offer Pig Latin. So I took 2 years of French and don't know a whole lot of French, but probably Rue Francais. So I speak French. Un peu, just a little bit. And I actually speak Oklahoma French. That's what my teacher, I always made a B in French because he says, I can conjugate verbs and all that kind of stuff, and I can kind of speak French, but it was with a very Oklahoma accent. And it's interesting, my French teacher was from Arkansas, and so when he spoke English, he had this real major twang. But when he spoke French, he didn't have a major twang. And, of course, us, being Oklahoma, we wouldn't know whether he did or didn't. But he said that he's never been accused of being an American whenever he's gone over to France. He used to go to France every year. So he's been accused of being a German and a couple other things, but never an American. So, he goes, if I can speak French without an accent, so can you. I'm like, I don't care about French that much to really speak without an accent. Only cool thing that we did in French class was watch Star Wars in French. Back then, we got it on a VHS from in Canada, Quebec, they speak French, and so he was able to get that, and so we were able to watch Star Wars in class, so it was pretty cool. They're speaking the French. Anyway, don't know what it has to do with anything else, but, we endeavor to help you to live life and to be able to, our motto here is that living life unlimited, but we want you to be able to get through life day after day after day. We want to, give you the tools. And today I want to go back and go back to the basics of faith. And some of you may or may not have seen this week. We had some special guests come and see us this week at Rama. We had them, and actually it wasn't for a meeting or anything, but Brother Kenneth Copeland came and with his son-in-law, George Pearson's, and we were talking about different things, and one thing that Brother Copeland was talking about was which we have endeavored to do a lot with our ministry, but he was talking about getting back to the ABCs of faith, because so many ministers now are trying to teach faith on their level instead of the level of where the people are. Hopefully if a church is getting people saved, all the time, that we're having more people come in. But even if you've been in the church a long time, what we need to keep being reminded about faith, because it takes faith to operate in the world we live in. Everything happens because of faith. And, our ministry is built on faith, and that's why we have our little, what do you call it, emblem for our ministry is the faith shield. You see it on, all our stuff, but the screens right now are broken, so if you notice, we don't have the words, and we don't have the things. Not the screens are fine. They're not broken. The program that's supposed to put the words up is not really working right, so we'll get that going hopefully next week, have everything back in order. So it's been very frustrating for them back there, so we just finally turned it off because it was better than seeing the background, from the Mac computer. But anyway, if you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, because if we want to talk about some basics of faith, we have to talk about what faith is. And so Hebrews 11:1 tells us what faith is. Hebrews 11:1, I'm reading from the New King James Version here. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So faith and hope are not the same thing. I mean, when you hope for something, hope is like you're just hoping it's going to happen. Faith is knowing it's already happened. Now notice the word says, "Now faith is." See, when faith comes, it comes instantly. Now my grandfather says this, is it, faith takes the unseen realm of hope and brings it in the realm of reality. See, you were hoping. Now, many people, this is a old-fashioned term. They say, "Well, we're hoping and a praying," but we're not here to be hoping and a praying. We're here to have faith. Have faith. Now, faith is. Faith is always now. See, if you're hoping that something is going to happen, that's in the future. Faith is now, hope is in the future. You're hoping something is going. If something is going to happen, but see, faith is our, faith happens now. Just like when Jesus Christ died upon the cross 2,000 years ago. And it said the word, 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes we were healed. Now, were is past tense, right? That means, it's already happened. And so when we believe we're healed, that's we believe that's already happened. Faith is calling things that be not as though they are. It's bringing it into the realm of reality. Now faith is. Now, I looked up the word faith and the word hope in the dictionary. After about 12 years of ministering, primarily on the subject of faith, it hit me one day whenever I was pulled my briefcase out, because this is back in the day, I'm not sure if we all carried a briefcase. I carried a briefcase. Inside my briefcase, I had a dictionary, Webster's New World Dictionary, 7th edition. And I got that whenever I went to Oklahoma State University. I showed up on campus there in the student union, walking in one of my first days on campus. And they had a little kind of tent thing set up, a table. And you could register to get a Oklahoma State Visa card. All right, that is if they approved you to get that, because not everyone got approved. But just by signing up or registering or filling out the information, they gave me a dictionary, a pocket-sized dictionary. Then they gave another book that has antonyms and synonyms and stuff like that. And so I had those. There were three books. I'm not sure what the other two were, because I never even used them. But I pulled the dictionary out of that, I used that dictionary quite a bit when I was going to school, because Google did not exist. All right, saw a movie last night, and the guy in the movie, he worked for a company in New York City that created phone books. And he was telling some younger people about that. They're like, what's a phone book? Does anyone use those anymore? Or do they still even make those anymore? Because, it's a technology that we, kind of thought would always be around, but it might be. I think they do have phone books, but most of people don't want to take time and go find a phone book. And, they just rather Google it. Or maybe they don't want to use Google. Maybe they want to use Bing or Yahoo or one of those other search engines. But, nobody wants, because it takes too long to go open. First of all, you got to find the book. Secondly, you have to open it, find the right page. And it's a whole lot faster to type it in. Or now, with mobile devices, you can actually ask Siri or whatever. So you can, we live in a whole lot easier, time. So, but back then, if I wanted to get a definition of faith, I had to look it up in an actual physical dictionary. And, there are big dictionaries and small dictionaries. This one was a small one. It was pocket size. It fit great in my briefcase. And so one day I was studying to minister on faith. I was in Richmond, Virginia. I remember this quite distinctly. And I just really felt, I've never looked up the word faith in the dictionary. Had no clue what faith says in the dictionary, and there are, I looked up later in different dictionaries and online, but I'm glad the first place I looked up was Webster's New World Dictionary, and I'm not sure if it's still available, but I do know a couple of years ago I was at Walmart right before school was fixing to start, and I walked through the school supply section, and I looked, and they had a little dictionary there, and it was the 11th edition of the Webster's New World Dictionary, so they probably still actually make that version. But anyway, the Webster's New World Dictionary says this, that faith is an unquestioning belief. An unquestioning belief. Or complete confidence was the other thing. So an unquestioning belief. And so I started thinking about that. So that means if I question, I don't have faith. And so how many times have we, set our sights and we have faith for certain things, but how many times in our own life do we begin to question, when is this going to happen? Why has it not happened? How come, God, those are all questions. And if you question according to the dictionary, you're not in faith. Now, that really hit me across the head, because many times whenever, you know, I've been believing for stuff, I ask questions as well. And so it changed the way that I think when it comes to faith. It changed my attitude. Now I looked up the word hope. And a hope is a feeling that what is wanted will happen. A feeling. Now, there's a lot of difference between an unquestioning belief and a feeling. You know, faith is more than a feeling. All right? You know, somebody that I like songs. Remember the one song that feelings, nothing more than feelings? Well, you know, sometimes it feels like things aren't going to happen. But faith knows it happens even when you don't feel like it. You know, just because you don't feel like it, or just because, you know, sometimes people almost think to themselves, well, I believe it when I see it. No, faith believes it before it sees it. Faith believes it now. See, when you have faith, whenever you pray for something, whenever you ask God for something, you believe you have it when you pray. Well, how do I do that? Well, because I don't see nothing. But see, you're bringing it into realm of reality before you see it. But see, before that, you were just hoping you were going to get something. You're hoping that maybe it will happen. You know, and there are a lot of times in our own life that we would like something to happen, but we don't actually ask God. We just want it to happen. I mean, you know, when you decide to believe God for something, there's something that switches on the inside. You know, a lot of times, like, you know, it'd be nice to have this. Yeah, it'd be nice, but there's a difference between being nice to have something and coming and asking and believing and having faith. But I've also found a lot of Christians are like this. Maybe you're not, but I've done it before. There are some things that I set my sights on to believe God for. And for a short period of time, you know, I asked, I believed. But you know what? Eventually, I quit asking, I quit believing, because, you know, it kind of went away for whatever reason. I quit confessing. I didn't get it. Why? Because I wasn't serious about that. I mean, it's something, you know, you have to decide, do you want that or not? Because it's not according to Jesus Christ dying on the cross. He already died on the cross. He already gave us the gift. But it's, can you believe, or do you believe that? All we have to do is believe. And when do we believe? We believe now. Whenever we ask, whenever we pray, we believe that we have received. And even if it doesn't look like it, even when it seems that it's not going to happen, it's not about what we're feeling. You know, in life, we go by feelings. I mean, that's, we're just kind of, and some people are more sensitive than others. You know, some people get their feelings hurt a lot. Some people never get their feelings hurt. Some people, you wonder if they're a robot or not, because, you know, it's, nothing seems to bother them. And, you know, nowadays we live in a society that I mean, it's all about, well, you know, that you, whatever you did offended me. You know, we're all about offending each other. Not that we try to offend people, but, you know, it's really easy to offend people without even trying now. And I found that you know, because we live in the world of social media now, if you make a statement, you're going to probably offend somebody that's on your friend list, because they don't agree. But, you know, and I think it's kind of interesting. My grandfather always would talk about, there were some ministers, there were some of his best friends that didn't always believe everything like my grandfather believed. No, they all believe that Jesus Christ is the one and only way to heaven, but they had some different beliefs on other things. You know, and he would always say, we would just agree to disagree on that subject instead of them. But, you know, I found out that the way we live today, if we can't 100% agree, we can't be friends. You know, and I think it's kind of foolish that we're about feelings. But we are. We're about feelings. We're about, you know, we have to see it. We have to figure out. Actually, we need to know why it. I mean, you know, we walk in a room and we're like, well, we feel something. But you know what? Whether you feel it or not, God's real. Amen. You know, sometimes people will walk in and say, well, I just feel the presence of God. But you realize the presence of God's always around you, whether you feel it or not. you know, it's not about what you feel. It's about, it should be about what you know. What you know, what you believe. And it's one of your core beliefs. You just have to believe. Yeah, but I don't feel like it's, something's happening. The reason you start asking questions is because you're trying to go by your feelings. Well, why has it not happened? Did I do something wrong? Now, see, the reason you're doing that is because the devil, the one that comes to kill, steal, and destroy, is trying to say, what'd you do wrong? Why has it not happened yet? And we begin to listen to it. We say, well, that wasn't the devil. That was my roommate, or that was my brother-in-law, or that was my mom, that was my dad, that was my sister, that was my boss. No, it wasn't. It's the devil. You say, well, maybe they're the ones that mentioned it, but you know what? The devil brought that around to give you an opportunity to lose your faith. Now, faith is the very core of what we believe, you know, and, you know, faith is our foundation. Now, if you know anything about building, is that, now some people say this, I don't know if it's true now with modern technology and modern building materials, but used to they would say that if you want to build a skyscraper, however far, however high you want to go, you have to dig that far into the ground as well. And so I don't know. I know that they just, you know, downtown Oklahoma City, that Devon Energy Center just opened up, was the tallest building in Oklahoma, tallest building in I don't know how, you know, how many states, but you know, I don't know how far they dug in the ground, but I guarantee it was more than 3 feet. All right, and you know, if we're going to have a firm foundation, we need to dig in, and we have to know what we believe. And it doesn't matter, you know, what anything, what comes our way is we have to believe what we believe. And that's faith. Now, our faith is not in our own self. Now, we do have some natural faith in our own abilities and our own self, but our faith in this situation is in God. Our faith is in Jesus, what he did for us. And see, there's a difference in putting our faith in ourself and putting our faith in somebody else and putting our faith in God. You know, because my grandfather, many times, whenever he was ministering, and we were going to have a healing line, he was saying, now, Jesus is the healer. One way, not the only way, but one way he heals is through the laying on of hands. You know, and he would say that I'm not the healer, Jesus is. He would say, you know, I can't heal a fly's wing or a gnat's eyeball, or maybe it was vice versa, I don't know. You know, I don't have the power. Jesus does. It's not my power. And a lot of times, see, what we do, and we don't always mean to do this, but we put our trust in an individual. We put our trust in, and we think, well, if this person prays for me, I will be healed. And we kind of base that upon, some of you, you know, if you know the word, you kind of base it, well, on Mark the 5th chapter, whenever the one with the issue of blood, she came to Jesus, and when she touched Jesus, she was healed. But see, when you touch Jesus, you're healed. But touching me is not touching Jesus. Now, you know, maybe it might be because Jesus flows, you know, the power of God might flow through my hand, but you know what? Jesus is in us all. He lives on the inside of you. You know, and so we can't put people in the place of Jesus. We have to believe in what Jesus did. We have to believe that he's with us. We have to believe that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. You know, I believe that one thing that is hurting America, hurting the world, and a lot of us understand that we can trust God and believe God for finances and for healing, but emotional issues is one thing that I've noticed that there are a lot of Christians and non-Christians that are eaten up with worry. But Jesus died on the cross so that we don't have to worry. We have so many scriptures about casting our cares upon the Lord, about being careful for nothing, having no anxiety. But do you know record number of individuals? And, you know, it's I do a lot more, or have my ministry has been a lot more with younger adults and children and youth. And, I mean, we have kids, I mean, young children, youth, in record numbers that are taking anti-anxiety medicines. You know, because anxiety is, I mean, people are developing anxiety at a younger and younger age. You know, and I kind of joke, and I'm not trying to make a joke because it's not really a joke. I mean, it's the devil's a liar. But you know what? Who are we supposed to be afraid of? And I go back to, I use it all the time, the three little pigs. And we all know the story. Hopefully, if you learned, or if you don't know, Google it. But the three little pigs. And when the three little pigs got into the brick house, they weren't afraid anymore. Because it didn't matter how much the big bad wolf huffs and puffs, he can't blow the house down. And so, you know, I use that same analogy, is when we get behind the rock, what are we worried about? And Jesus is the rock. You know, and a lot of times that we don't realize that if Jesus Christ dwells within us, and the Bible says that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, if he dwells within us, what are we worried about? What are we concerned about? Why do we, what happens is we don't feel that he's there. You know, and the reason we don't feel he's there is because we don't tap in to him. Now, Paul told a young man named Timothy, when you're going through situation, you need to stir up the gift of God that's on the inside of you. He didn't say stir it up on the outside. Now, a lot of times that we go to certain meetings or whatever, and people have a wonderful time, and we feel the presence on the outside, that's the outside. But it's more important that you get a hold of the presence of God on the inside of you. Because you're not going to be walking in that church service every day of your life. You understand, if you don't get it on the inside, it don't matter that you had it on the outside. What I've seen, you know, I've been around this a long time, and now that I'm 46, you know, all my life I've been in church, and I've seen people, you know, come and go, have awesome services and incredible things, and God did awesome things, and I've seen the lame walk, I've seen the blind, I've seen incredible miracles and healings, you know, taking place, and you know, incredible things, incredible oppression and things like that. But when people walk out of the room, you know, when 2 weeks later you talk to people and they don't feel anymore like they did the other day. You know, and I know people who come and get saved and give their life to Christ and everything's great, but then they go into the real world. And in the real world, we still have the big bad wolf, the devil himself. And he doesn't quit huffing and puffing, you know, even when he really doesn't have any right, doesn't have any authority, because he can't touch you if you know your authority. And if you don't know your authority and never known your authority, and I'm just trying to sell books, but I would ask you to go out there in the bookstore and buy The Believer's Authority. I believe that every Christian ought to read that once a year at least to remind yourself of the authority that you have. And I believe that every Christian ought to take a few of the scriptures that are in that book and quote them on a daily basis. Because we need to be reminded that we do have authority in the name of Jesus. Now, because we have that authority, we can have faith. And we can believe beyond a shadow of doubt. We don't have to doubt. We don't have to question because we know. When faith comes in, it's always now, and it's 100% confidence. That no matter what's going, you know, no matter what kind of wind or wave going your way, or you know, I know that there's a statement that my dad used to say, or my mom used to say. They don't really cuss a whole lot, but there was a statement. You know, no matter whether it's hell or high water, God's going to get you through it. You know, now obviously it's not really hell, Hades. You know, but sometimes, man. It seems in life everything is going wrong. You know, it seems that Murphy wrote the rule for you. Murphy wrote the law for you. Murphy's law, you know, everything that can, you know, happen will happen. You feel like, and what happens is we start feeling like a failure. We feel like, well, you know, why is things not working? You know, did I not? I thought I read Brother So-and-so's book on the 99 steps to have faith for everything. Maybe I missed step 76. That was the problem. 76 was the one I was missing. But you know, it doesn't take steps. It takes belief. It takes trusting in God. You know, and see, many people are trying to trust in themselves. They're trying to trust in their pastor, trying to trust in someone, but you have to trust God. Now, I believe that ministers did a bad job, at least in the earlier generations. It seems that many pastors almost made it sound like if you don't come to me as your pastor or as your minister to pray for you, you're not going to get it. You know, but one thing my grandfather's always done was try to let everyone know, you have the power, you have the right, you have the ability to pray for yourself. You don't have to have somebody else pray for you. I mean, I've heard many people say, well, I can't wait till brother so-and-so comes into town and so he can pray for me. You know, I'm like, but I'm talking about people who know the word. I'm talking about people who can quote the word. You know, people who know that scripture that believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It says believers. I mean, you know, I always joke about this, but I am pretty honest. I mean, I'm honest about it. I think that if you don't know who else to turn to, you go to the mall. Because, you know, there are a lot of people at the mall. You know, or maybe it happens to be, maybe the fair, the state fair just past couple weeks ago. You know, go around with a bunch of people and start asking, do you believe in Christ? Do you believe in healing? And find someone who believes and say, can you pray for me? Now, you might shock them because I'm like, well, I believe. But the Bible says that believers will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You know, and in fact, there are times, and I do this to my wife all the time. She gets mad at me, but I do. By the way, my wife, she's doing really, really good. She had neck surgery, so that way she won't be a pain in the neck anymore. And if you didn't know, it was three levels, which three levels is the most they usually do. And they put a, she has, let's see, 2, 4, 6, 8 screws and 3 plates, I think is what, whatever, in her neck. And so it's going through the healing process and it's fusing. She has been in quite a bit of pain, but it was whenever she had the surgery, she'd been having a pain coming shooting down her arm all the time. Now, sometimes she would have a pain in this arm, sometimes even in her leg, but they would go and come. But this arm was always shooting down pain, you know, and even with pain meds, about the best she could get was a 6 on the pain scale. So she always had, you know, this pain. But whenever she woke from surgery, she didn't have a pain in her arm at all. And so she hadn't been having those kind of pains. But she's having normal surgery kind of pains that you have whenever you're recovering from surgery. And like I said, her vertebrae, it's fusing to her her own vertebrae and stuff like that, and you have that. But what she's going experience right now, she says more of, and she's taking less and less pain medicine. She's being weaned off that. But she says she'll wake up. You know, I want to say the middle of the night, not just middle of the night, because she's in bed a lot. She's kind of getting tired of not really moving a whole lot. And you know, I mean, she gets up and walks around the house, but that's about it. But you know, she has to wear a neck brace and it goes on her chin and stuff, and she says she'll wake up and she'll get claustrophobic because she doesn't realize why I have this big old, you know, and it's not really as bad as it used to be, because I felt that neck brace. I'm like, man, it's really pretty light. I mean, lightweight plastic material. Basically, I looked at it, I'm like, hey, that's just almost looks like the pads they have, the hip pads they have in the on for football players now. It's a little bit lightweight plastic and it has some foam padding or whatever, so it's pretty lightweight, but you know, it's a pain. It's been a pain. And then a couple of things, you know, if her chin has pad on, and she get sweaty, and so she's rubbed a rash on her chin, so it was anyway, there's been some, and taking a shower is not the easiest thing in the world either with that thing on. So it's been, you know, but she can't lift my granddaughter either. So, or really can't lift really well. Can't lift anything, or she can't. But the problem is, you can lift it, but you're not supposed to lift it. That's the hardest problem, because you don't realize, you know. Well, even the other day, because she really hadn't been out, you know, of the house, and so the other day we went back to see the doctor, and so she grabbed her purse, and she didn't realize how heavy her purse really is, and you don't think about it until you go, oh, I probably shouldn't lift that. So she's like, Craig, can you carry my purse? So we were walking through the, you know, doctor's office, me carrying her purse. So, but that's okay. I mean, even during her surgery time, it just happened to be fell over lunchtime. So when she first went in, we all went to lunch, and I had her purse and all her stuff, and so I just carried it to lunch, you know, and so I was there at the cafeteria at the hospital, and this girl was kind of, I said, you know, obviously this is not really my purse. My wife, first, she's having surgery. She goes, well, my boyfriend would never carry my purse for me, you know. I'm like, so she thought it was really awesome that I carried my wife's purse. But she carries too much stuff in her purse. She needs to make sure, lighten that up. So I've been carrying a purse more than I normally do. You know, what's another thing about carrying a purse, you know, when you have a purse, you can have lots of stuff in there. Some of you may or may not know that. And so it's amazing the amount of times my wife's asked me, hey, Craig, do you have this or do you have that or do you have a pen? Or, you know, of course, a pen you could have. But she's asked me stuff. I'm like, well, where would I have that? I mean, where would I keep that? I don't, like, carry, you know, stuff. You know, I don't have a purse, you know, I carry with me or anything. I know some guys carry a man purse. That's okay. And, you know, if you like to have that, or some people carry, you know, one of those hip fanny packs or whatever, but, you know, I don't choose to carry anything. I used to carry a pocket knife all the time until I lost three pocket knives to the security at the airports now. So I just decided, you know what, I'm tired of giving my pocket knife to the security at the airport when, you know, so I decided to quit carrying a pocket knife. And it wasn't like we're talking about, you know, I didn't have this whole big knife. I'm just talking about just a little Swiss Army knife about this big that had a toothpick in it and had tweezers and you know, had a fingernail file. I mean, you know, and scissors on the pocket knife. And so that was really, really cool. And I used to, so I would lose one. Somebody would give me another one for a present. Then I would lose that one. Not on purpose. It's just that I would, you know, you start carrying something, you always, you know, throw it in your pocket. And they're like, sir, you can't take that on the airplane, you know, because they're afraid I might hijack the airplane with a Swiss Army knife. So anyway. But she's doing well. You know, keep her in your prayers. She can't do a whole lot right now. So, but anyway, she's doing good. So I want to give you that report because I forget sometimes. And then she goes, and then she asked me, did you tell them, you know, I'm okay? So I did. But you know what? When we have faith, we have to believe. We just simply believe. We believe now. We can, and like I said, faith is not only an unquestioned belief, it's complete trust or confidence, no matter what's happening, no matter what's going on, no matter how we feel. Not about how you feel. Never about how you feel. Now, the NLT says faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. Actually happen. It gives us assurance about the things we cannot see. You know, so it goes on to say, through their faith, the people in the days of old earned a good reputation. And verse 3 says this, by faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, and that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. So it was because of God speaking things into existence. Well, you know what? Just like God spoke things into existence, we can speak things into existence. The Message Bible says this, says, the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's a foundation that makes everything in life worth living. If you don't have faith, you can't believe anything. You have to have faith. You have to have faith. It goes on to say, it's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors, set them above the crowd. By faith we see the world called into existence by God's word, and what we see created by what we don't see. See, when God said, let there be light, there was darkness in the world. But when God said, let there be light, the light came on. Now, everyone said, but yeah, but that was God talking. But see, you know, whenever we speak things into existence. It's like God spoke them to existence. See, when God spoke, he believed immediately that the light would turn on. You know, now obviously you can do that too. Whenever you turn the light switch on, you believe the light's going to turn on as long as you paid your electric bill. You know, and the bulb's not burnt out, because I guess we have to make sure the bulb's not burnt out. Sometimes, no, that's one of my things that I do not like, is that when you, and it's all happened to us, when you turn the light on, sometimes all of a sudden the light kind of flickers and pop, it doesn't work anymore. But now you have these new LED lights that are supposed to last for 28 years or whatever, but mine don't. I don't know if anyone else's doesn't last them as long as it's supposed to. But you know what? When we believe, you know, we have to totally trust in God, and that should settle it. It's not about what we feel. It's not about what we think. Now, you know, I said that hope is a feeling that what is wanted will happen. You know, I've seen people come into a healing line, because I said, you know, I traveled around with my grandfather for many, many years. And first of all, you know, a lot of the time you would talk to them, and their faith was not in God. Their faith was in my grandfather. You know, in fact, I had an individual came to me, and it was a morning service. My grandfather, we always ministered to the sick every night, as he ministered. In the morning time, that he didn't pray for the sick on an individual basis, and you know, he would tell people, urge everyone to come back tonight. And so there was one morning that someone came, and they were in a wheelchair. And they were looking, and they asked me if my grandfather, they called him Brother, if Brother Hagin was still around, you know, because they had come a long ways, and they could not be there that night. And I said, honestly, him and the pastor have already gone. I mean, you know, because I had just walked him out to the car, and they left to go eat. So he's not around anyway, even you know, to pray for you. I said, but I'm willing to pray for you. And you know, I can see, when I said that my grandfather wasn't there, you can see the discouragement came across their face. Because, you know, they had traveled for like 4 hours away, you know, to be there. And I guess I got to the service actually late that morning. We were down in Louisiana. So I looked at him and I said, I can pray for you. And my name is Brother Hagin. I went on, and I told him the same anointing that he has, I have. In fact, well, from my grandfather talked, he says I have three times his anointing to minister to the sick. And so I didn't say it, he did. I mean, that was nothing the Lord had told me, you know, but he always said. In fact, there have been many times that he would preach, and he would, instead of him laying hands on the sick, he would ask me to do it, because he said, made some mention about the stronger anointing. Now, I didn't say it, he said it. So, you know, that was not my statement, that was his, you know, through what the Lord told him. The Lord never told me anything, he just said, pray for the sick. Or actually, he said, minister to the sick, not pray for it, we minister to the sick. So there's one thing praying, there's another thing ministering God's healing power to them. And so, said, I can minister to you, and I said, if you'll believe, you'll receive, because your faith should not be in Brother Hagin. To be in God. And so I gave her a mini faith lesson really quick. Now, I don't know that she knew who I really was, because a few months later, she sent an email to my father, because she thought it was, you know, because my father's name, Kenneth Hagin, they call him Kenneth Hagin Jr. Actually, he's not a junior, because his middle name is Wayne. My grandfather's middle name was Irwin. And that's the reason why I'm not the third. Because I really wouldn't be the third, I'd actually be a junior. And so it was already confusing enough that he really wasn't a junior, because he had a different middle initial or middle name. And so I would be named after one of them, or, you know, one or the other. And so they would just be really confusing. So, and you know, they picked another name. And I don't know why they picked my name. You know, Craig, I don't know what it's, I do know, according to those little things you can buy, it's Dweller of the Rock. That's what it means. You know, sometimes I think they make those things up, you know, and I think it's, you know, but I always kind of didn't have a whole lot of faith in those things. That, you know, my oldest son, his name is Cameron. The reason he's named Cameron is because we named him, my middle initial is Wayne, and then so so he has the same initials I have, CWH. So we decided that we were going to name him a C name. We went through the different C names, and really, it was when I was watching... Remember Mr. Show Family Ties? Ever seen that? was watching a rerun, and I saw, you know, Kirk Cameron, you know, who is a very outspoken Christian. You know, I said, well, what about the name Cameron? And at that time, there were a lot of, there still is a lot of girls named Cameron as well as those boys. So, but we picked on the name Cameron, and then later on, after I picked the name, I started look up, see what it meant. It means crooked nose. So, you know, but I don't know if it has anything to do with this, but seventh grade, he was playing baseball, playing catch, you know, and they were warming up playing catch, and his coach said something to him, so he looked over to see his coach. When he looked back, the ball hit him right in the nose, and he broke his nose. So I don't know if that was prophecy coming to pass or just it's happened to be. So I'm Craig. And middle name is Wayne, means wagon maker, by the way. Found that out. So and Kenneth means handsome. So my dad's name is Handsome Wagon Maker. Yeah. So whatever. But, you know, speaking of names, there's only one name we need to know, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The name above all names. And it doesn't matter what your name means or doesn't mean. And in fact, I had an individual that, you know, he, like I said, I do young adult services or whatever. And so one day, someone told me, they looked up, and you can look up, there's a thing you can look up called Urban Dictionary. And so if you look up Craig in the Urban Dictionary, it's someone who's really good looking or whatever. So I kind of happened to mention that. When I did, everyone started looking their name up in, you know, in Urban Dictionary. Well, his name was Irwin. And so he looked his name up, and everything goes. He was really disappointed because everything meant loser. I mean, it was all. The Urban Dictionary is not a real dictionary. It's something some guy make people make up the stuff. And so he was all dejected, and when he found out that, and I. So he came and told me. I go, well, what's your name? He said Irwin. I said, oh, that was my grandfather's middle name. And so from then on, he totally got it. Totally changed his countenance. You know, that known he had the same. His first name was the same as my grandfather's middle name. So anyway, but there's only one name that really matters: Jesus Christ. Amen. But our faith shouldn't be in a person. It's not about a person. It doesn't matter who they are. What matters is that our faith should be in God. And I always use our money because our money says in God we trust. But you know, I think that we should believe like that. In God we trust. We should put our faith. We should put our hope in God. It's not about people. It's about God. People will fail you. People mess up. You realize we're all humans. We're all humans, and we've all come short of the glory of God. We've all made mistakes, you know, and we all will probably make more mistakes. Not that we intend to, but, you know, things happen. Sometimes we don't do things like we should. Sometimes we make mistakes. But you know what? God never fails. And that's what our faith should stand in. But, you know, people will come to the healing, like this person. And so this person wrote my dad a email, and so they finally, my dad goes, well, I wasn't, you know, in Louisiana in March. I don't know what it was. And he was like asking the secretary, trying to figure out what in the world. Finally, they determined it was me. And so this lady wrote 3 months later. So she was in a wheelchair and she had cancer and was not given long to live. 3 months later, she wrote me an email thanking me for ministering to her and says she's no longer in a wheelchair. And she no longer has cancer. You know, because I was just able to get her to believe in God, to trust in God, you know, trust in the Lord. You know, that the verse that comes in the Old Testament in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all our heart, lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. Man, we should trust in God. We should completely have faith in God. But I've seen people come in healing lines, and then I remember, you know, sometimes I would be working at the book table afterwards and say, well, did you get healed today? Well, I sure hope so. Well, I don't think that they were in faith. If I'm saying I hope so, that's not in faith. And also, we need to change the way we talk sometimes, because I've heard of people say that I believe that I'm going to get my healing. Well, when is going? It's future tense. Faith is past us. You know, it's already happened. We were healed. We have been healed. If I'm going to get something, that's out in the future. We shouldn't believe that I'm going to get, you know, get healed. I am healed. And in fact, technically, and I don't really try to, you know, I know sometimes people just say it because they're saying it. A lot of times we say that we're believing that something's going to happen. But we shouldn't be believing. We should believe that it already has happened. And I don't try to always, change our thought, but we need to understand, we're not believing, we believe. See, the Bible doesn't say only believing, it says only believe. Only believe. Only believe. Now, what are you supposed to believe in? You believe in Him. You believe in God. You believe in what Jesus Christ did. He died on the cross for us. He took the stripes on His back. So by His stripes, we were healed. He provided the way. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And any time that something's affecting my life that's not abundant, then that's not Jesus. He didn't come for me to not have peace. In fact, when Jesus was born, it talked about one of His names was the Prince of Peace. Joy to the world. And interesting part about, that when Jesus was born, it talked about joy to the world for the King has come, So we have the living God living on the inside of us, but we can't have joy to the world. Why? Because we don't know what we have. The reason that we don't have faith, or the reason that our faith isn't as strong as it should be, is because we don't realize that Jesus Christ dwells with us, whether we like it or not. He's always with us. He'll never leave us, never forsake us. And you know what? It doesn't matter what you feel like. It doesn't matter that you feel that things aren't going right. Because feelings do not really matter. We have to go beyond what we feel. It's not about what we feel. It's never about what we feel. There's many times that I don't feel like ministering. There's many times that I don't feel like getting up. I don't feel like going on. But it's not about what I feel like. It's about what I know. And what I know is what Christ did for me. We talk about, that God is good. And some people say, well, God is good all the time. All the time God is good. But why is He good? People talk about God is good, but they're not really having that good of life. They're not really that nice of people. So is God might be good, but is your life good? Your life should be good. If you have God and God is good, then everything should be all good. You say, yeah, but in fact, there are certain people, and probably you're the same way, certain people, I don't want to ask them how they're doing. Well, I woke up and this was hurting and that was hurting and that and something else was hurting, okay, I understand. They're always complaining about how bad it is. You know what we should be talking about? If we're calling things that are not as though they are, we should talk about how good it is. You know what? And maybe things aren't hunky-dory all the time. It doesn't say that it's always going to be joyful. In fact, over in James, it says it counted all joy, whether it's joyful or not. Because there's days that you wake up and you go to work or you're living life and things aren't joyful. And things are hitting you left and right and you feel like you're in a boxing match. You know what? But you just have to go on. You have to, I just trust in God. What more? What can I do? And I always say this, Jesus Christ didn't die on the cross for me to have to live that way. My trust isn't in anything but Jesus. And a lot of times people put faith in their own job. It's not about their own job. The Bible doesn't say your job's your source. It says God's your source. It says God's your source. It says trust in God. It doesn't say trust in your job. Even going on here and talking about, different things, talking about the act of faith, I'm just going to read the Message Bible. It says this. Verse 7 says, by faith Noah built a ship in the middle of dry land. He was warned about something he couldn't see, and acting on what he was told, the result, his family was saved. His act of faith threw a sharp line between the evil of the unbelieving world and the righteousness of the believing world. As a result, Noah became became intimate with God. I mean, Noah, people laughed at him. Well, why are you building this big boat and putting all these animals in it? It's going to probably, it's probably stinking there. Have you ever been to the zoo? or everybody's a horse barn or whatever, it kind of stinks, you know. I mean, you know, think about this. They're there 40 days and 40 nights in there, shut up with all these animals. And, you know, people wonder, you know, why did he do that? It hadn't rained. It wasn't raining. But he did what the Lord told him to do because he believed. You know, because many people sometimes will ask you, well, why do you believe like that? Why are you happy when nobody else is happy? Because I know my God, and my God is good, and my God loves me enough that it doesn't matter what it feels like, doesn't matter what it looks like, doesn't matter that it seems it'll never happen. You know what? My faith is not in what's happening in the world. My faith is not necessarily in my government, although the Bible says to pray for our government. And I believe in doing two things, praying and voting. I think it's very important because we have a right to vote, and we need to exercise that right. And that's the reason people are not getting elected, because we don't vote. You know, people don't want to vote. Then they gripe. You know, we found out in the church world, most of the people who gripe about the church never put a dime in the church. You know, my grandfather says that givers don't gripe, and gripers don't give. It's interesting part about it is most people who give don't gripe because they understand their giving is under God. You know, but the people who gripe the most tend to give the least. And, you know, and it's that way all the time. People who cause the most amount of trouble, you know, they're not putting anything in it. In fact, my grandfather was telling about a story about, you know, they were going to build a church, and one particular individual, and he was one of the deacons in the church, he didn't like the style of church that they were going to build, so he just quit coming, and he quit giving. Well, you know, after the church was built, he kind of had a change. He kind of actually liked it or whatever. And so then, you know, he came back to the church and said, well, look what we've done. He goes, my grandfather said, you didn't do anything. You know, God did it. You know, and he was a real big giver in the church. And he, you know, him not using, you know, giving his money, it seemed that it was going to be hard to build it, but they did. And then he's like, well, look what we've done. Look what our little church has done. And my grandfather, he said, you didn't do anything. You know, said, but you're welcome to come back. You know, gripers don't usually give. You know what? And the thing about it is, when people gripe, we ought to quit listening to what people say sometimes. You know, because a lot of times people will try to be negative. When people are standing in faith, I found out that they have a lot of negativity coming their way. People are trying to be negative. Why is it your business anyway, what I believe? I mean, you know, isn't my faith my own personal business, how I believe? I mean, we live in a free country where we're supposed to be able to believe how we want to believe. You know, and if we want to believe we came from a monkey, we're allowed to believe that. I don't believe that, but if that's what you want to believe, then that's your right and privilege. But you know what? It's interesting because it seems that we're tolerant of religions unless people are Christians. In the world we see, in the world we have, if, you know, if you're a Christian, if you believe in Christ, then we're not as tolerant of that because you know, and that shouldn't be the fact. The fact of the matter is that we should be able to believe how we believe, and if someone doesn't believe like we believe, then you know what? That's okay. I'm not going to let that ruin the way I believe. You know, and I say this all the time, just because somebody else did not get healed for whatever reason, that you know, should not destroy you believing God for your own self. And there's been many times, I know my own grandfather said there, on two occasions, you know, that he distinctly remembers, there was, he questions why two people, both of them very close to him, one of them was his own sister, you know, why they died. And the Lord told him same thing on both these individuals, said there's a reason, it's not for you to know. And he said, don't touch it again in thought life. Because if you touch it again in thought life, it might mess up the way you believe. And so there's been many times in my life throughout the years and when I did not maybe 100% understand, and I choose not to touch again in thought life. I choose not to let that bother my faith. Just because you realize that you, I'm not in somebody else's skin. I don't know what they 100% believe. I don't know unless they tell me. Now, I've been in hospitals with many people before when their relatives aren't there. And they said, and I've had people come tell me, said, people that were battling cancer in particular or some other disease, and on more than one occasion, they said, Craig, I'm ready to go. I'm tired of fighting. I don't want my family, they were feeling bad. Their family was going to get mad at them because they're ready to go. And so, it's because the family was holding on. And they're ready to go. But so they weren't even on the same believing levels. There was conflict. But they didn't want to tell their family that. And so, which usually meant that the pastor had to step in and begin to talk. I've often said, I understand. If I'm facing with a battle like that, I understand, that they either need to get healed or they might want to go on. Because they're tired of suffering. And the thing about it is, no matter what, we have something good to look for. Heaven is far better according to the word. When Paul said, to die is gain. And so we shouldn't feel sorry for the people who die. They have it better than we are. I understand that we miss them, and we miss them here, and we miss them. But one day we'll see them again. Amen. But you know what? We have to trust God. We just have to have faith. And when faith comes, it comes now, and we continue to believe. And people say, well, it hasn't happened yet. Doesn't matter. So what? Well, what if it's not going to happen? Well, it's going to happen because I believe. Just like God believed it was going to happen whenever he, by faith, created the world. My dad has a book out there called Create the World That You Want to See. Do you realize by what we say, by what we do, by our actions? Your mom always said actions speak louder than words. Sometimes you might be saying one thing, but your actions say something different. Your actions speak differently. Now, one thing that I always say with faith, there is no plan B, because if you believe in, if your faith is in plan A, then you can't have faith in plan B. Do you understand that? Because your faith is going to be wherever your plan is. I've heard people say, well, I want to believe God for a new car, but I'll take a used one. Well, is your faith in a new one or a used one? What are you standing on? I'm standing on the promises of God. What do you want? The Bible says he'll give you desires of your heart. What do you want to believe? Well, I don't know how that might happen. It's not about you knowing how. It's about you trusting God. See, how was the question, right? If I'm trying to figure out how, and I believe in education. I believe that our children should be as educated as much as possible. I believe in having an education. I believe in educating your mind. I believe in, we should always continue learning no matter how old we are. We should always learn new stuff. We should always, stay in tune with the world and educate ourselves. But there's natural education, there's spiritual education. And sometimes that just because in the natural it seems like something doesn't line up with the spirit, but you know what? You have to believe it in spite of what the doctors say, in spite of what it seems like, you have to believe anyway. But what happens is we have an educated mind, and in the Western world, the educated world, that we are educated to figure everything out. If there's a problem, we figure out how it works. That's what we do. There has to be an answer. And there is an answer to every problem, and it's Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ, if you're in school still, just don't write that. You're doing a math problem and you write Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, and they're going to wonder, find X. X equals Jesus Christ. Why not? I'll get you an F. For faith. Yeah. But, you know, we live in a world where we try to figure everything out. And we are trained from a young individual all the way through to figure out problems. Because that's what an educated person does. And that's why we spend billions of dollars in science and research and, you know, in technology trying to figure out how all this stuff works. You understand? But you're not going to figure out how God works. You know, we have a tape series. You know, some of you may or may not know that preaching is the smallest job that I do at the ministry. All right, that's like the small part. The big part is marketing and management and all that kind of stuff. And one of my responsibilities is every book cover, every CD cover. I'm the last say what it's going to be on there. And there's been many times that our artists just couldn't come up with it. So I go and try to help them create. Sometimes go online, try to find stuff or whatever. So we were creating a new cover for a CD series called Faith That Works. And, you know, they gave me, I don't know, probably 12 different things. Nothing really kind of, I don't know. It's sometimes it's kind of hard to illustrate something. And I came up with the light bulb. I'm like, you know, because when we go in our closet, you know, remember the old timing, which where you pull the string, not necessarily, I mean, you know, we pull that string, we expect it to work, just like when our faith works. And so they came, okay, had a light, so it's faith that works. It works. When you believe, it works. It turns, the light comes on. See, eventually, when the light comes on, it works. Well, you have to understand that, you know, when we believe, the light comes on. But our doubt turns the light out. Our doubt, you know, our unbelief, our questions, you know, and so, you know, remember the little song some of you, we sing in children's church, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Well, you need to let your faith light shine. And the only way you're going to let it shine is not doubt. You know, I always said we should shout and not doubt. You know, some people, you know, I've heard pastors use the word shout it out. You know, they use the shout, you know, shout detergent, you know, just, how you gonna get it out? We shout it out. Well, sometimes everything seems to be going so bad, you just shout, you know, because your trust is in God. Your faith is in God. You know, and I believe that one of the biggest things that we're gonna face in our entire life is just believing God, just trusting God. Just trusting, because our mind said, I don't know how it's gonna work. Because we were trained to make things work, especially if you're in the science field or you're in math or you're an engineer like Glenn here. I mean, you're used to figuring problems out. I mean, if there's a problem, you can figure it out. You know, and a lot of people have a lot of faith in their own self that they can figure out any kind of problem. But you know what? I have found out that there's many problems that we face on the earth on a daily basis. We can't figure out how it's going to work. Sometimes we look at our own life, sometimes we look at the government, sometimes we look at, and we're like, how in the world am I going to make it work? Well, first of all, if you're making it work, your trust is not in God. It's not about you making it work, it's about you trusting God that it works. Your faith is in God. I don't care who says what, I don't care what you feel like, because faith is not feelings. I don't care that it seems like it's not going to work. I don't care who's telling you it's not going to work. I don't care that it doesn't seem like it's going to work. And I've heard people say, well, you know, things aren't working and you know, and my house is going into foreclosure. Well, you know, so does it say that, so you don't believe even, you know, even though it's going to foreclosure? And you know what? If you lose the house, God will give you a better one. Now, there are some other things, you know, if you're not working a job, there's some other, you know, if you're, every time you get paid, you go to the mall and spend, you know, but you, and you can't afford anything, but you have 100 pairs of shoes, there's an issue. I'm not just talking about ladies either. I know some guys that have all these shoes. I'm like, when do you wear all those shoes? I mean, I have a hard enough time figuring out my three pairs that I want to wear. I mean, you know, and how do I want to trade those out? I don't need a pair for every outfit I wear, you know, but or whatever. But you know, our faith should be in God, and no matter what, we trust in Him, and we don't have to figure it out. We just believe, only believe. Now, faith is. It is there. It's there. And nothing's going to change you. Nothing's going to make it different. You're not. Shouldn't be in hope. It's not about hoping. You know, don't be hoping or praying. Believe that you receive your answer. And Jesus Christ is the answer to anything you'll ever face. And you know, many times, You don't have to say it out loud. If you're like, people are saying, I don't know what the answer is. Just say, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. And there's many times in my own life, I don't know how I'm going to make it work. I don't know. You know what? But I trust in God. You know, if like I said, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all our heart, and He'll lead us, and He'll guide us, and He'll show us the way. To lean not to our own understanding. You know, and there's many times that I don't understand. I don't know how it's going to work. You know, you feel your back's against the wall. You feel like, man, everything's caving in. You know what? God is our source. And I just feel today, not just here in this room, but in Christianity as a whole, that there's so many people that are going through so much stuff in life. And not just Christians. I mean, Christians as well as non-Christians. But, you know, I understand why there is no hope for those that don't believe in Christ. They don't even believe the answer, but you do. You know, you don't necessarily believe the answer, you know the answer. If you know the answer and the answer is Jesus, then there's no reason for you to be doubting, no reason for you to be depressed, no reason for you to not be happy, because you know the answer. You know, and you just have to have faith. And you know, that's why I like the symbol we have, the faith shield. And many times whenever we all have moments of doubt. And I look at that shield, I look at that faith, and you know, look at the word. You know, only believe. All things are possible to them that believe. Now, I love that, because it says only believe, because it doesn't give us another choice. Doesn't say to doubt, doesn't say to have hope, but we should believe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for a simple message today on faith, and we thank you, Father, to help us understand that in all things, at all times, that we can have faith, and have faith beyond what we need. And many people think they need this measure of faith or that measure of faith, but we have all the faith that we need. We have all the faith that we need to have, because Jesus Christ provided that to us through dying on the cross, through His death, burial, and resurrection. And Father God, we just thank you for calling to our remembrance every time that we're going through situations and circumstances that we don't know what to do. Give us that remembrance that we can trust God, that we can have faith, that we can believe. Help us to know that we can only believe, that all things come to pass when we believe. Help us understand that it's not believing in our own self and believing in our work, but believing in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. And Father God, we just thank you for helping us to have that firm foundation, that no one can take that away from us, that every situation, at every time, that we'll continue to believe. And whenever things that come our way that tries to put doubt and unbelief and depression and things upon us, help us to understand that Jesus Christ is with us, and He'll never leave us, and He'll never forsake us, and He's there to help us every single day. Help us to stir up that gift of God that's on the inside of us. Help us to understand that we can have power and love and a sound mind. Help us to understand the joy of the Lord that's our strength, that's on the inside of us. And Father, we know that as we go through life, that things are not always easy, but it's not about being easy. It's about trusting in the Lord. And we thank you, Father, that when we have faith, that we'll continue to have strong faith. And when doubts and unbelief try to come our way, help us to understand that faith is not a questioning belief, but faith is a complete trust and confidence in God. And Father God, we just thank you right now for each and every person that's here. We thank you, Father, if anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, that this, tonight that they'll come and they'll make Jesus Christ their Lord. Or maybe they're here tonight and they know Jesus or they've known Jesus, but they've kind of turned their back and they went away. But tonight they want to come and publicly rededicate themselves to God. Or maybe they're here tonight and they're saved, they're a child of God, but they've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, and that experience belongs to them. And Father God, help them to receive that experience, that endowment from power from on high. And we thank you, Father, to help them be filled with the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues. We thank you for every person that's here tonight. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, or you want to rededicate your life, or you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, lift your hand. We want to pray with you before we go tonight. We want to make sure that you got those gifts that belong to you. Because I tell you what, I mean, you know, obviously if you don't know Jesus, it's hard to have faith in Jesus. You know, but we can make it to heaven without being filled with the Holy Spirit, but it's a whole lot easier on the earth to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That gives us that prayer language to pray, because, you know, there are times, there's some things this week that I was distraught over a little bit, you know, and just didn't know exactly how to pray, and you know, and thank God for good teaching, thank God for me, it's a little different because I've heard my grandfather many, many times, and I go back and I can hear him talking to me, and, you know, we're talking to, you know, different people, and I hear him say, you know what, when you don't know how to pray, just pray in the Spirit. And I begin to pray in the Spirit over a situation, and you know, and even this weekend, things begin to break. Things begin to fall away. Things, you know, in a situation in my own family, and things begin to fall away. And, you know, barriers begin to come down. You know, because sometimes, you know, when it comes to your kids and things, you just don't know how to pray. You don't know how to speak like you should speak, because you just don't know. You know, it's not, you know, it's easy when it's about me. It's about me. That's one thing. But this is concerning one of my children and some things they were going through and some things that they were dealing with, and it was affecting their life. And you know, and praise God that you know they had some breakthroughs this weekend. And you know, and it wasn't because their daddy told them something or. You know, but God began to speak with him. I tell you what, man, it's just something that we need to have. And if you've not been filled with the Spirit, I encourage you to lift your hand. We want to minister, you know, that to you. Amen. I don't see any hands. Praise God. Let's all stand up. If you're here tonight and you need healing in your body, I don't care if it's a small thing or big thing. I don't care if you're having a headache or you have terminal cancer. If you need healing in your body, come down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you. I tell you what, we've heard testimony after testimony right here in this little church about how God's healed many individuals. How many of you are here, you know, and you came forward one Sunday and we ministered healing power to you and you were healed? How many? Amen. See those hands? I mean, praise God. God's a healer. Jesus is the healer. Like I said, I'm not the healer. Jesus is. And one way that Jesus heals is through the laying on of hands. And so if you're here tonight and you need healing in your body, come down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you. One thing I always talk about is sometimes, you know, we think, well, that's just something small. You know, I just have a fever. I just have a cold. I just have a cough. You know what? God doesn't want you to have something small going on in your life. You know, people, ever heard the term nagging cough? Well, that, you know, it might be something small, but it's something big whenever it bothers you all the time. Amen? At that, I'm coughing. I need some water. My throat's dry. But, you know, sometimes, you know, we say we just don't feel well. But, you know, Jesus, he died on the cross for our complete healing. Not just for terminal cancer. Not just for miracles. And I, you know, we are seeing more and more miracles. And you know what? If you want to see miracles, you got to believe. We have to believe. We have to expect. And we have to expect things to happen. You know, some of the miracles you need in your life is not a physical miracle. It's a financial miracle. Maybe it's an emotional miracle. Maybe something happened in your past life, you know, or in your, you know, as a kid, something happened, and you just emotionally hadn't been able to get beyond that. But you know what? Jesus Christ died on the cross, you know, for your emotional healing. You know, and he loves us so much. So it doesn't matter what you need, Jesus provided that for you. Amen. If you're down here, I want to ask you to do a couple of things. First of all, I want you to lift both hands toward heaven, and I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to think about two things, and two things only. Think about Jesus Christ and your healing. Think about how awesome it is to be healed. Think how awesome it is to not to have whatever's going on in your life. Father God, we just thank you right now for these individuals. And we thank you, Father, for the healing power of God that's flowing into their body from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. We thank you, Father, that healing power will drive out that what Satan has tried to do to their life. And we thank you, Father, for complete healing. And we thank you, Father, for testimonies that we shall hear and that we shall see. And we thank you for it now in the name of Jesus. In the name, the name, the name, the name of Jesus. There it is right there. That's it right there. That's it right there. The healing power of God is working. It's working. It's working in your body, driving out all those sickness and disease. We thank you, Father, for complete healing now in the name, the name, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name, the name. That's it. There it is. There it is. There it is. There it is. That's it. The healing power of God is flowing throughout your body. It's touching you. It's healing you. It's setting you free in those situations, those circumstances that used to bother you. Well, no more, no more be bothering you anymore. But we thank you, Father, for a completeness, a wholeness in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. But before we go, I just feel impressed that there is a person or people here that you've been having a tough time mentally. There's been some, I don't know if it's been depression. I don't know if it's depression. I don't know what's been going on. Maybe you feel you've been in a funk for whatever reason. Things haven't been like they should, and you just need a touch from God. If that's you, come down here right now. Come down here right now. Don't delay, because you know what? I was fixing to dismiss, and God said, you know what? There's some people here that are going through some stuff. They're going through some stuff. Something on the inside. Emotionally, they're having some issues. You know what? Don't feel that I can't come down here, because when God calls something out for you, I mean, you know, don't be prideful saying, I'm not going to go down there. I don't have to go down there. No, you don't have to come down here, but God wants to minister to you. He wants to minister to you. That's why he gave me that word. You know, and a lot of times that you know, that's something else. I mean, that's something that we have to deal with, because sometimes that we get caught on such a, you know, and you know, I understand trying to be mindful of time and things like that, but sometimes because we're so caught up on we have to get dismissed by this certain time that we don't take opportunities to minister to people when God wants us to minister to people. Now we don't have two services here. I understand sometimes you have two services going on and you have to get people in, get people out, you know, because but we only have one service, so we ain't no one that has to come, you know, there. I mean, you know, it's 8 o'clock, you know, I know it's later than normal, but you know what? God's a good God. And the reason we spoke tonight on faith is because you just have to believe. You just have to believe. And maybe you have questions tonight. Maybe you don't understand why things haven't worked the way they're supposed to work, but you know what? The Bible says only to believe. And I tell you what, you know, Jesus came, he came to minister to each and every one of us, naturally, physically, emotionally, and every way. I mean, he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He wants us to have an abundant life. He wants us to be well. He wants us to be healed. I mean, he came not so that we're going to be emotionally down all the time, not so that we're going to be stressed out all the time, but he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And many people, you know, they their life doesn't feel like it's abundant, and they're wondering, you know, what's going on. Luke the fourth chapter, the 18th verse, it says this, that Jesus was handed a book of the prophet Isaiah, so it's actually in Isaiah as well, and when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." You know, I read this verse all the time, usually before I minister all the time. You know, a lot of ministers don't talk about that, but Jesus said he had sent me to heal the brokenhearted. People that are hurting. People, you know, people say, well, they had heartbreak because, especially doing youth ministry, you know, people have heartbreak because their boyfriend or girlfriend breaks up with them, and that's not just youth. I mean, you know, you could be 58 years old, and on Facebook, you know, your girlfriend texts you, said they don't want to date you anymore, and people are brokenhearted no matter how old. You know, we have broken hearts no matter how old we are. But Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set those at liberty who are oppressed. People who feel like there is no way out, he said, you know, he came to give us liberty, give us freedom. You know, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That Jesus Christ has anointed us. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us to minister to people who are hurting. The people that are stressed out. The people who are feeling, many times we come through life and we're like, I don't know what to do. 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 You know what? You know, that's not a bad place. Now, some people say, well, what do you mean it's not a bad place? Because when you quit trying to do stuff and just let God, that's a good place to be. So if you don't know what to do, say, you know what? I'm just going to give it to God. You don't know what to do anyway, so why stress out about it? You can't handle it. You know, some of you maybe have seen the movie A Few Good Men, one of my favorite movies. And, you know, when Jack Nicholson, or Nick, he gives a speech that says, you can't handle the truth. Well, the truth is, you can't do anything about it. You know, the Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The truth shall make you free, and the truth is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came. Jesus Christ lives. He lives on the inside of you. And he's like, you know what, there's many, many times I think about, I'm weird, so I think differently than most people do. I don't know why. But I always think, you know what, if I was Jesus, I would be so upset with so many Christians. You know, if I'm here dwelling with them and thinking, why are you all stressed out? Why are you all worried when I'm right here to help you? You know, and people say, well, the Lord, you know, the people think the Lord's going to help them, but he can't do anything unless we ask. Ask what you will and it shall be done. Well, what do you, and understand it says ask what you will. You know what the biggest lie from the devil is? People say, because the devil tells, well, I don't deserve it because I haven't been the best Christian. Or I haven't given enough money to the church, or I haven't fasted enough, or I hadn't prayed enough, or I haven't, you know what, the Bible didn't say you had to do anything. It said only believe. It says whatever you will. Your will means your will, not God's will. Now, when Jesus was praying that one time, he said, your will be done, meaning God's will. But the Bible says, whatever you will. Whatever you want. Whatever you desire. You know, and we get all frustrated sometimes, but you know what? We need to know that God's always with us. You know, and problems are problems, and problems come and problems go. But our trust needs to be always in God. So you that are down here, I want you to close your eyes once again. I want you to lift both hands toward heaven. And I want you to thank the Lord that these situations and these feelings and this frustration is gone tonight. That when we minister God's power to you, that something's happening right there. And you know what? The devil's a liar. And you might feel tonight things lift, but tomorrow morning you might wake up and the devil's trying to say, you know what, nothing's changed. But you just have to know, you just have to believe, you just have to trust in the Lord, you just have to know your God, you just have to have faith. Father God, we just thank you for these precious people. And we thank you, Father, right now for their lives. And we thank you, Father, for helping them through their situations. And Father God, we thank you to help them right now as we minister to them, Father. We thank you, Father, for just giving them peace, just filling them with that peace that passes all understanding, filling them with the love of God. We thank you, Father, that you'll just fill them with that love, and that they'll know how much you love them and how much that you're touching, taking care of the situation. We thank you, Father, that those things that they've worried about and stressed about, that those situations will fall away right now in the name of Jesus as they believe. And Father God, we just thank you for ministering to them like never before in the name of Jesus. That now that's it right there. Peace. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for ministering to her like never before. And those situations, those circumstances will fall away in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. In the name of, oh, there it is, right there. There it is. Peace is coming upon you. Hallelujah. No more. Just relax. Let God. All things will be okay. Don't worry about what anybody says, what anybody does. Everything is okay. And the peace of God, that peace is upon you right now. And in the name of Jesus, receive it now. Hallelujah. Oh, those situations, those circumstances are falling away. So just trust in the Lord. Just lean on Him and just have joy. Just rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So just quit worrying about it. Quit trying to fret about it. Quit trying to figure things out in your own head. It's not you're not going to figure it out anyway. But just trust in God with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. And let God, just let go right now. And let God make those things come to pass. And relax and enjoy the blessings. In the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for peace. Peace upon you. Peace upon your life. Peace upon your situation. Peace. We just thank you, Father, for complete peace. And we walk in 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 peace. And when things seem to be not peaceful, we walk in peace anyway. It's not about what we feel. It's not about what's going on around about us. It's not about the situations. It's not about the news. Not about the bad news, the good news, or whatever news. Whatever news has happened, don't worry about those. That because it's not about that. It's about putting your trust in God, about believing beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's nothing that can stop God working in your life. So have faith. Trust in God. Quit fretting about it. Quit worrying about those situations. No, my son, in the name of Jesus, those situations, those circumstances are falling away right now. Devil, you have no right. You have no authority in this situation. You have no authority. And we command you to go. We command you to leave. We command you to quit speaking that doubt and unbelief. But we thank you, Father, that the peace that passes all understanding is overtaking her now. And every time that doubt begins to come around, we thank you, Father, that peace will come on the inside, and it'll come on the inside, and it'll move throughout her entire body. And it doesn't matter what she's feeling on the outside, but she knows on the inside that all is well. All is well. All is well. Thank you for it now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's a good God. He loves us so much. Don't mean to get emotional, but you know what? God loves us that much. I feel compassion on people. When you know people are hurting, you should feel compassion on them. Man, we've all been there. We've all been in that place when we've hurt. We've all been there whenever it seems that there's no way. It seems like there's no way out. But you know what? We serve such a good God who loves us no matter what. It's not about, you know, people try to say, well, God don't love us when we're good. No, God loves us. You know what? I was thinking about my class tomorrow. I started a class tomorrow talking about the love of God. You know, and it came to me, and sometimes you wonder, you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. You know, it didn't say for God so loved the Jews. Because a lot of times, you know, praise God for the Jews, but God loves the world. But you know what? Sometimes if you listen to the church, we always think that God so loved the church that he gave Jesus. No, God so loved the people who were at his worst. You know, and sometimes we look at people and we think, you know, we think, man, how can God love that person? But you know what? It's not just God has to love that person. You do too. Because the love of God is supposed to be shed abroad in your heart, right? So, you know, so you're like, when you think to yourself, how could God love that person? Then there's an issue in your own life. Nothing to do with my sermon tonight. But you know what? We got to love people. We got to have compassion on people. We got to care about people. We got to care about, you know, what they're going through. You know, and you know, like I said, I spent a lot of time doing youth ministry. And, man, I've seen some kids, you know, and I'm thinking, God, I wish that was my worst problem in life. You know, that I had a bad hair day, had a few pimples, or, you know, or I made a bad grade on my test. I mean, that, you know, that would, if that was the worst thing that happened to me in life, I would be happy about that. You know, I can use a few pimples. I'm okay with that. I mean, I can just pop them and, you know, whatever. But, you know, sometimes, you know, but you know what? To a youth, it's a tragic situation. You know, especially, you know, a young lady a lot of times. I mean, look at me, you know, this and that. You know, my hair wouldn't work, you know, right? And my curling iron broke, you know, right, you know, and it wouldn't heat up, and, you know, I ran out of hairspray and blah, blah, blah. You know, that, and I might, for me, I'm like, well, you know, if I have a bad hair day, so be it. You know, but, you know, it doesn't really matter. So, but the thing about it is that a lot of times that we don't have compassion on people and what they're going through. And, you know, we've all been there. We've all been in that place. And we need to think about, you know, what they're going through and have compassion on people. That's why when you see people that are hurting, you should hurt, because you know what? You know, God loves them, and he didn't want them to hurt. And we shouldn't want them to hurt either. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God. Like I said, Dad will be here next week, and I think Pastor Rob will be here next week, and he can tell himself about what's going on. Don't forget our Pops. Yeah. There's a sign up right here. We're going to go on the Pops on Saturday at noon. Arcadia, if you don't know where it is, Google it, and it'll give you directions, and look it up on your maps or whatever. God bless you guys. I'll be back there to shake your hand up there. All right, if you want to get a shirt, they're out there, shirts and hoodies. You know, I'm not for, you know, Oklahoma, you never know if it's going to be hot or cold. We just don't want to be lukewarm. So go out there and get that. If you want some stickers, we have those stickers out there available as well. God bless you guys. Take care. Have a great day.